You would open your Bibles to Luke 17, the book of Luke, chapter 17. Book of Luke, chapter 17. And I didn't know that they were singing that in the choir about the thankful leper, but that's what we're going to look at in the scriptures today. Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 18, the Bible says this, "And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee," and that he is Jesus, by the way. "And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' And when he saw them, he said unto them, 'Go, show yourselves unto the priests.' And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, 'Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that returned to give glory to God, save this stranger.'" He called him a stranger because he was a Samaritan. "And there was only one that returned and gave thanks to God." Let's pray. Father, I ask that you would take your word at this point in time. I pray, Father, that you would meet with us, speak to every heart that's here. Father, I pray that you would give each one of us ears that we may be able to hear the message today. Father, give us a heart that would be a good and honest heart, one that would understand the scripture, understand what is said, and understand the application for our life today. I pray, Father, that through this message you might call people to repentance. Father, that through this message you might help us to learn to be more thankful and to show that gratitude to you for what you've done for us. And Father, I pray that you would give me the ability to preach it as it needs to be preached. And I ask this. We need you at this time and this hour. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As we look at this, I want to notice these 10 lepers. And I want to notice that the lepers' condition today was obvious. Let's turn, hold your place here in Luke. We're going to turn to Leviticus chapter 13. Leviticus chapter 13. The book of Leviticus in chapter 13 and 14. In Sunday school, we talked about typology and some of the types of scriptures, but the leprosy in the Old Testament, in the book of Leviticus chapter 13 and 14, leprosy is a very strong picture of sin. The Bible says in chapter 13, 1 through 3, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying, When a man shall have the skin of his flesh, in the skin of his flesh, a rising, a scab or a bright spot, and it be in the skin of his flesh like the plague of leprosy, then he shall be brought unto Aaron the priest, or unto one of his sons the priest. And the priest shall look on the plague in the skin of the flesh, and when the hair in the plague is turned white, and the plague be in sight deeper than the skin of his flesh, it is a plague of leprosy. And the priest shall look on him and pronounce him unclean." I want you to notice today with me the leprous condition. Leprosy is a sickness, a disease that still takes place today. It is a disease in which the skin of a person is eaten away. Recently in the news, if you follow it throughout the last couple of years, we've seen multiple cases here in the United States where people got into some water, and in that water they got a scratch, and from that scratch they got a bacteria, and it's called a flesh-eating bacteria. I knew of a case where a lady actually, as that bacteria began to creep up the leg, and it would just eat the flesh, and they had no way to stop it. The only thing they could do was to cut the leg off, to get rid of the leg in order to stop it. I knew a man whose wife got this disease, only she got it on the torso part of her body. Well, there's nothing there to amputate. There's nothing there to stop. And though they tried to cut out portions of the flesh and then graft new flesh into these portions, this lady ended up dying from this flesh-eating disease. This is leprosy. It's like the disease of leprosy. Their flesh would be eaten off of their bodies, and the condition was obvious. The condition was obvious. If a person got leprosy, the Bible says here that the leprosy would begin to eat on the skin, and that there would be a hollow place in the skin, and the person would know that they got leprosy. And I want to submit to you, when a person got leprosy, it was obvious that they got it. And in comparison, the type of leprosy being a type of sin, the sin that we have in our lives, it's obvious as we look around at every single person in this world, we are all sinners. Every one of us has sinned. Now, some more than others. But would you take a leprous person, and maybe one person as they have that leprosy, and the leprosy has begun to eat away, and maybe their hand is missing, and the flesh has dropped off of their hand, and you look at that, and another person looks at them and says, "You have leprosy." And then while they themselves, they have leprosy maybe that has only eaten away at one finger, does this person have any less leprosy than this person has? What is the end of that? The end is the death penalty, really. It is death. It's not the penalty of death, but it is, the fact stands, when you get that leprosy, it was at that point in history an incurable disease. They could not cure it. So whether you had a little bit of leprosy, or whether you had leprosy that had taken off your entire arm and maybe part of your face and your ears and different things like this, this person that has leprosy only on the finger is not going to look at this person that has leprosy spread over his entire body and say, "Ooh, you have leprosy." No, because he knows that in just a period of time, the leprosy that he has is going to look just like that. We see here the condition was obvious. You may look at it and you may say, "You know what, I've never committed adultery." Good for you. But at the moment that we get proud about that fact, we have committed a sin in our pride. Pride is a sin just like adultery is a sin. A person may say, "You know, I've never killed anyone," but you've maybe told lies. And you look at it and you compare and you may think, well, the lie is not as bad as that, but the end result is the same. The end result is death. The Bible says, "For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." So whether a person has leprosy to the point where they're going to die tomorrow, or whether a person has leprosy to the point where they just got it, the end is the same result. The condition is obvious. And a person doesn't say, "My leprosy is less than your leprosy, so I'm okay." They understood the end result. The leprosy caused them to be outcast from society. Numbers chapter 5 and verse 2. In the Old Testament, the book of Numbers, chapter 5, chapter 5 and verse 2, the Bible says this, "Command the children of Israel that they put out of the camp every leper and everyone that hath an issue and whosoever is defiled by the dead." Everyone that is a leper. So what did they do? They looked at a person that had disease, this disease, and maybe it was Lathan, and Lathan shows up and he shows himself to the priest, and the priest looks and he says, "Right here on your arm, there's a spot that has begun to be eaten out," and he says, "Lathan, you have leprosy." Now, at that point in time, he's going to tell Lathan, "You cannot live in society anymore. You're not allowed to be within the camp." Why? Because this leprosy was a very contagious and deadly disease. In order to keep it from spreading to Thomas, Lathan would be taken out of the camp. He would have to live outside. His family, they love him still, but they cannot be with him anymore. The leprosy has separated him from society. It has separated him because he's contagious. His family would then bring food, and they would leave it sit at a certain point, and he would then come. The family would leave. They would leave the food there. He would come, and he would get that food, and they would still try to provide for him, but they could not have any physical contact any longer because of the fear of getting that leprosy. It was contagious. And I want you to understand, sin is contagious. Look at our society. When one person sins and they begin to sin, it's going to affect someone else, isn't it? It always does. People that live holy and right and pure and clean before God, and they say, "Look, I want to do what God wants me to do," those people have an effect. And people that reject God and reject God's word and reject holy living and reject the word of God, and they live in open and blatant sin, it has an effect on other people. And soon, our senses begin to lessen. And we do not recognize sin for what it is, and we begin to lessen the sin as we look at it. everyone knows in society that only 30 years ago or even less, a great sin, the abominable sin of homosexuality, was looked upon and despised by all. Everybody knew that is one of the most abominable of all sins. You take it 30 years before that, the sin of adultery was looked at in the same way. Right? Those that have lived through that period of time, it was looked at in the same way. But more and more people began to sin, and people began to look at it, and they began to think, you know, it's not really so bad. Yes, it is. It's one of the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not commit adultery. So we look at these situations, and society gets numb to it. It becomes contagious. And then that sin just goes to a worser sin in society, and that sin becomes visibly accepted by society. That doesn't mean God changed His mind, does it? God has not changed His mind. So the whole point of this was, in order to keep this leprosy from spreading, they would take the person and put him outside the camp. And like he was an outcast from camp, a person in their sinful condition is an outcast from heaven. Again, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. That death is hell, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. So the lake of fire, God cannot permit sin to be in heaven. God cannot allow sin into His presence. You say, then what hope is there? I'm a sinner, and if I'm a sinner and I am condemned, just like for these lepers, there was no cure. Once they got leprosy, they were condemned to die. There was nothing they could do about it. And that's the way it is with sin. Every person that is saved, they understand, I'm a sinner. I've been on my way to hell. There's nothing I can do to stop that. There's nothing I can do to change that. So these lepers, their condition caused them to be outcast. And their condition was an incurable death sentence. An incurable death sentence. Nothing could be done. Would anyone submit today that they think that they would be good enough to work their way to stand in the presence of a holy, pure God? Would anybody be so proud as to say, you know what, I've done so many more good works than I have bad, I would be able to stand before God? Can anyone even begin to think that today? I don't care how hard I tried, I am not worthy to stand in the presence of God. I cannot wash away my own sin. I could not forgive my own sins. I could not work them off. There is nothing that I could do to pay for my own sins. And these lepers, they were there. They could not cure their condition. Verse 13, turn back to Luke 17 now. Verse 13. So we'll read again verse 12. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. These men knew they were going to die because of their disease. But they'd heard something. They'd heard there's a man. His name is Jesus. And this man has the ability to cure leprosy. I've heard about other lepers being cured before, and they hear Jesus is coming this way, and these 10 lepers, they say, is there a chance? Is there a possibility that maybe we could be cured of our leprosy? Is there a possibility that my hand could be restored as normal? And another one says, is there a possibility that maybe the cheek that has rotted out of the side of my face could be restored as whole? And another one says, my foot is gone. Is there someone that could cure me of this leprosy? And they said, there's a man named Jesus. They heard about him. They heard that he was coming. They went out. They stood afar off the path. They weren't allowed to be on the path where people walked. They stood afar off, and as they saw him coming, they cried out, Jesus! Master! You notice two things there. They acknowledged Jesus, and they acknowledged that he was Master. He is the Lord of Lords, isn't he? He is the Lord of Lords. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. These people needed mercy, didn't they? You know, probably one of the most dreaded words in our society today is cancer, right? You hear the word cancer and you think, oh boy, I'm done for. What chance is there? Is there hope? And we strive to find cures for these different diseases, right? What if you heard that word? What if you heard that word? You'd be interested in a cure, wouldn't you? All of a sudden, that thing that has been in the back of your mind that you never thought much about, that thing that affected other people, now it is affecting you. You'd be wanting a cure, wouldn't you? And these 10 lepers, they stood there before the Lord Jesus Christ, and as they stood there, they cried out, "Have mercy on us." Did they deserve it? Not necessarily. Were they any better than anyone else? Not necessarily. But he said, "Have mercy on us. Please help us." And we take this and we take this type of leprosy, a picture of sin, and when we realize I'm a sinner, my sin, it doesn't matter whether it's this big or this big, I'm still a sinner. The end result is death in hell. And when a person realizes that and they realize there is no cure, I cannot cure myself. No church can cure you. No amount of money can cure you. No amount of good living can cure you. You take the person that has lied, and maybe they didn't lie for the next 50 years, but they still can't undo the fact that they lied that once. It can't be undone. So you look at this whole situation. They're in desperate need of what? They need help. And the sinner needs to cry out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on me." Because he is the only answer. These people understood Jesus was the only one that could help them. Now, as they looked at this, Jesus was their only hope. But I wonder, here's what I think. When I read this, I think, how did they know about Jesus? How did they know that Jesus could cure them? How did they know that Jesus was coming that way? I don't know. The Bible does not tell us the answer. But it is obvious that at some point in time, they had heard that Jesus Christ could heal leprosy, right? They heard it from someone. That means someone told them about it, right? Someone told them about it. They also heard somehow that Jesus Christ was coming that way. That means someone told them about that. You know, there's a whole lot of people living in sin on their way to hell, and they need to know about Jesus Christ. So from one perspective, if you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior, you need to be saved. You need to call out to Him for salvation. Today could be the day of your salvation, the day that your sin is washed away, the day that your leprosy is cured. But I want to take this from a different perspective, and I want to ask you, do you know people that are not saved? And have you taken the name of Jesus to them? Have you told someone about the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you expressed to someone that you don't want them to die and go to hell, and you look and say, please come to Jesus Christ? Maybe it was a family member. Maybe the family member came to these lepers, and as they came to these lepers, they told them, hey, I can't come close to you, but guess what? Jesus is coming through town, and he's going to be coming out of town. He's going to be coming along this road. Hey, family member, please come out here and accept Jesus Christ. Call out to him for mercy. He can heal your leprosy. And that family member, though they cannot go to them and touch them and they cannot hug them any longer, and they look at it and they call out and say, Jesus is coming. Get out here. Just wait by the path. When he comes by, ask him to have mercy on you. He can cure your leprosy. And these 10 men are saying, who's this Jesus? Who is Jesus? I haven't heard about him before. There's somebody that can cure leprosy, and they start talking among themselves and say, if there's someone that can cure leprosy, it's worth coming out and being afar off from the path, and just, there's a chance. There's a chance that he can make us whole. And maybe there were some lepers that day that stayed back and didn't believe it. We don't know. But these lepers, they came out and they called out to Jesus for help. Verse 14 says this, "And when he saw them, he said unto them," so they've called out to Jesus, he sees them, and he says, "Go show yourselves unto the priest." Go show yourselves unto the priest. I'm going to turn to Leviticus chapter 14. Leviticus chapter 14 in the Word of God. The Bible had some rules for leprosy. If a man thought he had leprosy and he was an outcast from society, and he was out there living outside of society, and then all of a sudden it went away, well, that would have meant pretty much that it wasn't leprosy in that day. They may have thought that it was, so he was under quarantine for a certain period of time, but they had the opportunity to come back into society, and here's how it worked. Leviticus chapter 14, verse 1 through 3, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, This shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought unto the priest, and the priest shall go forth out of the camp, and the priest shall look. And behold, if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper," then they have these rules to do. And I'm just going to read verse 10. "And on the eighth day," this is the eighth day after he came to the priest, "he shall take two he lambs without blemish, and one ewe lamb of the first year without blemish, and 3/10 deals of fine flour for a meat offering, mingled with oil, and one log of oil." And then jump to verse 13 with me. And he shall slay the lamb in the place where he shall kill the sin offering, and the burnt offering in the holy place. For as the sin offering is the priest, so is the trespass offering, it is most holy. And the priest shall take some of the blood of the trespass offering, and the priest shall put it upon the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot." So this person that possibly had leprosy, and now all of a sudden it's gone, he comes back, he shows himself to the priest. The priest look and say, "Yes, it is truly gone." And then they had this order to go through, and it is the picture, as they slay the lamb, the picture of Jesus Christ washing away the sin of a person. That picture of Jesus Christ paying that penalty for that sin. And as the blood was applied to the leper in order to claim that he is now cleansed from this leprosy, so the blood of Jesus Christ needs to be applied to our lives, and without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. My friend, if you do not come to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, you have no hope. There is no cure for sin besides the Lord Jesus Christ. Besides the fact that he shed his blood on the cross of Calvary, that is the only cure. If you have not and do not accept that cure, if you do not call out to Jesus Christ and say, "Have mercy upon me, for I have sinned," if you do not do that, if you will not trust Christ as your Savior, there is no hope beyond that. There is no cure beyond that. You will spend eternity in hell as a judgment for your sin. Not because you did not have opportunity, because Jesus Christ died to pay for your sins, but because you did not call out to Him and trust Him as Savior. They called out. Jesus Christ said, "Go show yourselves to the priest." Jesus knew what he was going to do. The Bible says in verse 14 of this chapter, of chapter 17 of Luke now, "And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed." We notice here, they followed Jesus' instructions. He told them, "Go show yourselves to the priest." Were they healed immediately at that moment? No, the Bible says, as they went. So you could picture them. Here they are, 10 guys. I want you to see this. I want you to picture it in your mind with me. 10 guys. And these 10 guys are walking. They're going to show themselves to the priest. And they're thinking, "Why didn't he heal us?" And one of them, their hand is gone, and another one, the side of their face is gone, and somebody's foot, and he's limping along, and every one of them, they've got this leprosy, and as they begin to walk to show themselves to the priest, all of a sudden, one of them says, "My hand, I can feel it again. My hand, it's cured, it's healed." And the other one begins to look, and he says, "My face, it's cured, it's healed. My feet are back, we're healed." And they continue on. to go show themselves to the priest. Verse 15 says this, "And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan." A Samaritan was a person who was a half Jew. He was a Samaritan. I want you to see this. 10 guys get healed. They're all excited. One of them comes back. He runs back to Jesus. He can approach him now. The leprosy's gone. He falls down on his face before the Lord Jesus and says, "Thank you for healing me. Thank you. Thank you." Do you realize this guy just got his life back? Do you realize this guy, he can now go to work? He can now go and he can hug his family again? This guy can now go and look at his kids, if he has them, and say, "Daddy's home, the leprosy's gone, I'm cured." And he says, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for curing me." If you're saved today, you're saved because Jesus Christ saved you. And I want to shift this. We've looked at the leper, we've looked at their call to Jesus, and I would encourage you, if you have not trusted Christ as your Savior, you need to do it today. He died for you. He died. He is the cure for your sin. But I want to shift this now to the Christians in this room. Don't you think that all 10 of them should have come back and said thank you? Think about it. Wasn't just one that was healed. And Jesus himself, he says this statement. He says, Jesus answered and said, verse 17, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? And then Jesus continues and he says this, "There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger." Jesus, you can picture it in his mind. If we turned it into modern day English, he'd say, "You've got to be kidding me. You've got to be kidding me. Only 1 out of 10 came back to say thank you." You know, we live in an unthankful society, don't we? How many times when you do something nice for somebody do people say thank you? One time I was over in Russia, and two teenage boys, there was a guy that got stuck in the snow, and two teenage boys came up and helped to push, and I stepped up behind them and helped to push the car out. The car, he got out, drove off with not so much as a thank you. And those two teenage boys, they stood there, and I heard their conversation as they walked off. They said, "The guy didn't even say thank you." And I'm thinking, you know what? That's the society that we live in. But here, Jesus Christ himself is looking at this situation. I want to think, how many of you, you raise your hand, you say, "I know for certain that I'm saved. I've trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I'm saved today." Would you raise your hand? Okay, you know that. Let me ask you this. In your life, do you give thanks to the Lord Jesus for saving you? Jesus looked at this, and what did he do? He said, "Where are the 9? Do you know how many people, they say they're saved, but how many of them have just totally forsaken coming to church? How many people, They say, "I'm saved, thank you Jesus for saving me," but they do nothing in their life to turn back and give glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. They do nothing in their life to come back and say, "You know what? You saved me. I owe you my life. I'm at least going to show my gratitude by coming to church. I'm going to show my gratitude by striving to live according to the Word of God. I'm going to show my gratitude. I'm going to say, Jesus, I love you." And Jesus says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." So think about this thing. Think about that one guy, how thankful he was. And think about this. Are you thankful for the Lord saving you? I fear that what happens sometimes is it's happened so long ago that we forget the reality of it. I was saved when I was just about 5 years old. That was 37 years ago. 37 years ago. Now granted, that's a long time. But you know what? If Jesus Christ didn't save me, I would be on my way to hell right now. So whether it was a long time ago, I want you to take this leper and I want you to picture him. It doesn't say how old he was. But I want you to picture him 20 years from then. Still healthy. Still whole. No leprosy. Do you think he forgot about that day? Do you think when he got up in the morning and he looked and that hand that was just eaten away and now it's back and whole, do you think when he saw that, do you think he ever forgot about what Jesus did for him? I don't think he forgot. I think every day when he went to work, every day when he got to hug his family, every day he was thankful to the Lord Jesus Christ. We're coming upon Thanksgiving season. And I know that this world has turned it into happy holidays. It's not happy holidays, it's happy Thanksgiving. And I was told recently that many, many times in school it's now being taught that these pilgrims, when they gave that first Thanksgiving, that they weren't giving thanks to God, they were doing that as thanks to the Indians. That is disgusting that anyone would even hint that that was the purpose of the Thanksgiving. Those people gathered together to thank God for their harvest, because multitudes of them died the year before because they didn't get a harvest in time. They were thankful to their Creator. They were thankful to the one that made that grain grow. They were thankful to God for their very lives. And I'm not saying that they weren't thankful to the help that the Indians gave them, but they were there to praise God for what He had done for them. Has Thanksgiving become a point in time where, oh, it's Turkey Day? I despise that saying. It's not Turkey Day, it's Thanksgiving Day. Has Thanksgiving become, oh, this is football day, it's the time to just watch football? Even honestly, it's a good time for family to gather together, and it's a great time you can do things as a family. But there ought to be a time as that family is gathered together where we pause and give thanks to our God for what He's done for us. That's the purpose of Thanksgiving. That is the reason that we have it. And I want to submit to you that every Christian, every person that has trusted Christ as Savior, they've had their sins washed away. Don't you think that you ought to do a little bit every week for the Lord Jesus and say, just to say thank you again for saving my soul? Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you for what you've done to me. But out of all the people that claim the name Christian, would you say that 1 out of 10 truly live for the Lord? And Jesus says, where are the 9? Where are the 9? And I think, I trust, I hope that you'll all be back next Sunday to thank the Lord. You know what? We look at Thanksgiving in the Bible, we see people singing Thanksgiving to God. What, every Sunday we gather here, we sing some songs, we praise the Lord, thank you for what you've done for me. If you're saved, that ought to be a part of your life. It's what God wants. You ought to give your time to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. Your life ought to reflect the fact, hey, Jesus, thank you for saving me. I was on my way to hell and now I'm set free. I was living in death with a death penalty upon me and now I have eternal life Do you get it? Do you realize what he did for you? Only one leper out of 10 came back to say thank you. One leper out of 10. I want to encourage you today, if you have not trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you need to trust Him today. The Bible says that today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. I want you to think with me. I want to be very clear. Every person is born with a sin nature, and as a result of that sin nature, all of us sin. I live in the same flesh that you do. I sin. My sins were taking me to hell. I had no way of saving myself. You say, but you're a preacher. Preaching does not save me. I had no way to save myself. When I realized as a boy that I was a sinner, I realized by reading the Word of God and going to church and hearing the preaching of the Word of God, I came to the realization that I was a sinner. And you know what that meant? Same thing as it meant if someone said, you have leprosy. It meant that I was on my way to hell. I say, you? Yes, me. I was on my way to hell. That's where I would have ended up. But I found out that Jesus Christ died to pay for my sins. And I looked at that, and I came to an understanding of that, and I realized Jesus died for me. Now let me ask you, who was it, in my scenario, who was it that deserved to die? Jesus or me? It was me, wasn't it? I was the one that deserved to die. I was the one that sinned. Did Jesus sin? Jesus never sinned. I was the one that sinned. I deserved hell. It was me that deserved. I was on my way there. I deserved it. But God looked down way ahead of time and saw me and said, guess what? I'm going to send Jesus Christ, my son, to die for you. He died on the cross. When he died on the cross, was Jesus Christ in any way paying for his own sin? He wasn't, was he? Whose sin was he paying for? Ours. Mine. Ours. He died. Not for his own sin, he died for my sin. When I realized that, and I realized Jesus Christ is the answer, I'm on my way to hell. Jesus Christ is over here. Hell, heaven. Death, eternal life. Me paying for my own sins, Jesus Christ paid for my sins. It didn't take me long to figure out that I wanted this, not this. When I realized that, I turned to Jesus and cried out, Lord Jesus, have mercy on me. Please save me. And that day, he took my sins, washed me in the blood of Jesus Christ. Not physically, spiritually. All my sins are gone. Now, I want to live every day of my life saying, thank you, Jesus, for saving me. I'm not perfect. I still have a flesh that wants to still sin. I try to keep that flesh in check, in control. Why? Because I want to love the Lord Jesus Christ and live for Him. That is salvation. It took me understanding that day, Jesus Christ died for my sins, and I called out to Him to save me. Do you have a day like that in your life where you realized, I'm a sinner, I'm on my way to hell, and you turned to Jesus Christ and said, please save me? If you do not have a day like that, then you could say you still have leprosy. You need to get saved. He's willing. He already died. He already paid the penalty. All you have to do is turn to Him and trust Him as Savior. Any person that's here today, if you have a question about that, when we have the invitation in a moment. It's called an invitation because we invite you to come down and talk to us and see if you need to be saved. Any person that needs to be saved today, as soon as we have the invitation, as soon as the piano begins to play, and Brother Reed will be in here to sing, as soon as that happens, you just step out, come down here, and tell me, I would like to be saved. We will have someone take the Word of God. They will show you right from the Bible how that you can trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. And you can walk out of here today, not on your way to hell, not on the death penalty of leprosy, but walk out of here today knowing my sins are gone. They're washed away in the blood of Jesus Christ. But then I encourage you after that, what so many people do, they do like the 10 lepers or the 9. They get saved, they trust Jesus Christ, and then they never come back to church. They never come back to say thank you. They don't live a life for the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't want you to just get saved and not say thank you. I want you to get saved and say, you know what? He's worth living for. He died for me. He's worth living for. He's worth living for. If you're a Christian today and you have trusted Christ as your Savior and you would look at it and say, I have not been living my life in thankfulness to the Lord Jesus like I ought to, I would encourage you just to come down today and pray and ask God to help you. First of all, to forgive you, and then to help you to be more thankful and to live a life for Him. Let's stand, please.